What will the cars of the future look like? For decades, car companies and reporters have tried to predict what kind of vehicles we'd be driving.
This little chariot can really run you around in circles.
Although some of these ideas may have come up short, what about the new buzz around the driverless car?
Driverless cars will be a fact of life sooner rather than later.
Ford CEO Mark Field says that in 5 years, the company will be manufacturing fully autonomous vehicles. Uber is already running self-driving taxis on an experimental basis in Pittsburgh. And Google for years has been experimenting with a fully autonomous car in California. But is all that just a lot of hype? And how will it change infrastructure projects and transportation policy?
This is completely absurd.
That's Bob Poole, the Searle Freedom Trust Transportation Fellow and Director of Transportation Policy at Reason Foundation. He sat down with Reason TV's Editor-in-Chief Nick Gillespie to answer a few questions about the future of autonomous vehicles.
So you're more skeptical about driverless cars than most people, you know, and that they'll become fully autonomous cars will become the norm on American roads in a short period of time. Where's your skepticism coming from?
Skepticism is coming partly from researchers, serious researchers, not reporters, writing in the popular press, at UC Berkeley, at Carnegie Mellon, at MIT, who say this is a much harder problem than a lot of people, including Elon Musk, make it out to be.
I think from the point at which true autonomous driving is possible, which I now think is probably in the 5 or 6 year time frame.
You said that before, though,
five to six years.
It's easy to get a car to self-drive on an interstate where it has very few odd situations to have to cope with. But in ordinary driving on congested city streets with construction zones and a thrown ball darting into the road, and all this is a very hard artificial intelligence problem to solve. And it has to be done in an extremely reliable way.
I mean, I'm thinking of myself. I spend a lot more time driving on city or
surface streets. Right, exactly. So that's the majority of time, at least. Maybe not the majority of miles, but the majority of time. And that's a much harder problem. The head of Google X's autonomous vehicle project was quoted saying that this problem for all kinds of driving purposes in all kinds of environments is several orders of magnitude is a tenfold increase. So 100 or 1,000 times more complicated than driving on the interstate.
So I guess people like Elon Musk, they can afford to just buy new children or new trees and things like that.
Right.
The first self-driving car won't be a car at all. It'll be a truck.
Driverless trucking is really for long-haul truck where they're having a huge problem retaining drivers. The driver turnover in long-haul trucking is 100% per year. I don't think there's any industry that has higher turnover, at least for people that are making that kind of money. And so this is really a problem. There's a huge problem of fatigue. It's getting worse because the federal hours of service regulations mean that they have to get 8 hours of uninterrupted off-time rest for after a certain amount of driving. So long-haul corridors, with dedicated truck lanes, where you can have autonomous or semi-autonomous trucks, initially semi-autonomous platoons of trucks, where you get 5 to 10% fuel savings by two or three of them taking advantage of close spacing and less overall drag. That means the fuel consumption is less.
Even if there is a driverless or an autonomous or semi-autonomous long-haul truck, it's going to stop and then it's going to get turned over.
You're going to need a driver to be making deliveries, picking up and dropping off stuff and so forth, I think, for a long, long time.
Widespread adoption of shared self-driving vehicles could render parking spots and driveways obsolete and transform urban landscapes.
One of the things driving the dream of the driverless car, or the autonomous car, or like an Uber system which relies on robots even more so than on people.
Robotaxis, we call them.
Is the idea that, we own cars and we barely use them. If we're driving to work 4 hours a day each way, we've got 20 hours, we're not. What's wrong with that argument?
Well, there's a lot of sociological reasons that we don't know how to assess for the long term, but people like the option value of having the car always available whenever something occurs that you want the mobility. The idea of mobility as a service replacing so shared vehicles, robotaxis, potentially could replace all personal vehicle travel. But that's a huge debate within the AV community. Nobody has a clue what the percentage, let's say, once we have full robotaxis that can go anywhere, anytime, what fraction of people will choose to own an autonomous vehicle versus to use mobility as a service?
And it's kind of like everybody could rent or live in hotels.
Right.
And in some cities it would be cheaper,
you want to own it,
you want to personalize it, you want to
know it's
there.
So that is a huge unknown. Yeah. And all the honest researchers say this could be 10% owned and 90% shared, or it could be 90% owned and 10% shared. And we don't really have a clue as to which way that's going to go.
What are the implications of either fully automated or semi-autonomous transportation vehicles or options things like passenger rail and Amtrak?
Well, I think one of the biggest impacts that's likely for autonomous vehicles, particularly the robo-taxi idea, is the vast disruption of today's mass transit, rail transit, bus transit. If you have door-to-door trip possibilities from a robo-taxi without the cost of the driver, which is the largest single operating cost in any transit system, this upends the whole apple cart. And so when I see places like Seattle, the voters just approved something like a $50 billion plan to expand their light rail over the next 30 years. I mean, well into the time frame when we are likely to have robo-taxis in at least part of the transit market and eventually the entire transit market. This is completely absurd.
We'll leave it there. I want to thank Bob Poole, Director of Transportation Policy and the Searle Freedom Trust, a fellow at Reason Foundation.
Thanks, Nick.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.